Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Flagship Podcast. I am Chip Brown of Horns247.com, joined, as always, by managing editor of Horns247, Taylor Estes. Taylor, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Chip. How about you?
I mean, we are into fall camp. Things are happening. In fact, the biggest question going on in Austin, Texas right now is, when is the market going to come back? When are these 100 degree days going to end? And who voted Texas number one in the coaches poll?
That, I mean, it can't be Steve Sarkisian because he doesn't have a vote from what my understanding is. So who do you think it is?
I mean, could it be Nick Saban?
Just messing with it. That's what I'm like. Is this just like some type of mind like game that Nick Saban's playing? I don't know.
Right. Coaches don't usually vote for their own team. So what if Nick is just feeling especially, kind of tricksterish?
Yeah, maybe. We won't find out until, the last week of the regular season, I think, is when they release the weekly rank, right? Isn't that when they know who voted?
Yeah, we won't find out until the end of the season. But by then, no one will remember this. But at this particular time, when it's just people counting down until the beginning of the season, a story like that gets a full day of headlines. So, Taylor, we are in to the second week of fall camp, and the pads, we are recording on Tuesday, the full pads go on today. This is really when we're going to start to find out what's going on with this football team, because up to this point, they've been basically running around in shorts and then some shoulder pads.
Right.
But now we're going full pads. Now we're going to tackle to the ground. Well, Steve Sarkisian said they'll work their way into that probably by Saturday's scrimmage. But these first two scrimmages of fall camp, which will happen this Saturday and the following Saturday, really will determine in the coaches' minds who the starting lineup is. And so here we go. And really, when you put the full pads on, this is when you start to see, A, can the offensive line block? Can the defensive line get penetration? And B or C, depending on if you're counting at home, the quarterbacks, do they have any pocket presence when everything is collapsing down around them? How do they handle that? How do they step up in the pocket? What kind of pocket presence do they have, Taylor? Because to me, this is the biggest question that Hudson Card has to answer in 2022, because that was the knock on him last season. Has he matured enough to where he's more comfortable in the pocket? To me, if he has any chance of being the starting quarterback for Texas, he has to improve tenfold in terms of his pocket presence, because we know Steve Sarkisian wants a pocket passer. He doesn't want a runner. And Quinn Ewers fits the description. He's Sarkisian's handpicked guy. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, with Hudson Card, how many times last season did we hear Steve Sarkisian use terms similar to like happy feet, or he gets too antsy in the pocket? And that's, I think you're spot on, Chip, when you say that that is one, probably the single biggest thing that he needs to prove is improvement with his pocket presence. And you don't really know how that's going to be for a quarterback until really the full pads come on. But even then, you know, they don't get tackled. It's not like the quarterbacks are getting tackled in practice. So that still, in my opinion, can be something that may not show up until game day. I mean, that I think is the reality of the situation. So you better hope, if you're Hudson Card, I would say especially, that you are doing everything else like phenomenally to stay in the mix. Because I think you're right. I mean, you know, we're not trying to anoint Quinn Ewers as the guy right now, but it would be kind of foolish of us to not acknowledge the fact that this is a guy that Steve Sarkisian handpicked and brought to Texas, and he fits the style of quarterback that Steve Sarkisian typically likes to have. And so the Hudson Card has a lot to definitely prove, I think. And the other thing too, Chip, if you think of it this way, I was kind of mentioning this to Jeff Howe at practice last week when we had some open media practices. But the thing that you also have to like consider, I think, a little bit is if Steve Sarkisian goes with Hudson Card and say it doesn't work out, people are going to be like, he doesn't know what he's doing. He made this mistake last year. You know, it's kind of like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, you know? And so I think that that's something that you also have to consider, is whether it's the right move or not. If for some reason Hudson Card trots out with the ones in game one and doesn't show very well, or plays against Alabama and has a poor performance similar to how he had against Arkansas, people are going to be like, here we go again. This is exactly what happened in year one. And how did that end? I mean, I think, you know, the natives are a little restless, and they will be, you know, for sure, I think, if that plays out. So I almost feel like the safer bet for Steve Sarkisian right now is to just go with Quinn Ewers and, you know, hope it works out and just roll with some of the punches that are probably likely going to come with starting, you know, a redshirt freshman who doesn't have any experience at the college level. I mean, there's just so many things that you have to consider, I think, when you're looking at this quarterback battle. But I think the room for error that Steve Sarkisian has is very minimal entering this season.
Yeah, and think about all the weeks last season where Steve Sarkisian opted to go with Casey Thompson. He watched Hudson Card in practice. He really didn't go with Hudson Card again unless he felt like Casey Thompson's thumb was an issue. So we saw him at Iowa State. We saw him at West Virginia. And then inexplicably to me, because it was clear that Casey's thumb was not reacting well in cold weather. And then when he was in warm weather, he threw it well, like we saw in the Kansas game. He throws for 5 touchdowns and leads Texas back into that game when Hudson Card is struggling and getting strip sacked. And, you know, people are like, well, the offensive line was terrible. Well, the offensive line was terrible for both guys, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, you think of Steve Sarkisian and all the times he watched Hudson Card in practice and opted not to go with him as the starter. Can Hudson Card do enough to change Steve Sarkisian's mind? And I give Hudson Card a lot of credit. He loves Texas. He wants his degree from Texas. He's dreamed of playing quarterback at Texas. And he feels like he outplayed Quinn Ewers in the spring. And he might have. He probably did, based on the turnovers that I've heard that Quinn Ewers had. But just, and I'm not going to overcook this, Taylor, but just in the open windows that we saw, Quinn Ewers looked more comfortable. It looked like Hudson Card was pressing a little bit, missing some throws. We only saw individual passing drills where the receivers are running against air, mm-hmm. and the quarterback's just trying to put the ball out there and hit them. and he was missing, you know, a couple of deep outs to Isaiah Neyor and Brennan Thompson, and Quinn Ewers looked more comfortable. Now, Quinn Ewers missed a pass too that we saw, but Card missed like four. So
right, let's see. He was feeling it a lot more. I felt like, you know, when he was trying to do some of the deep ball, it was. And this is a very small
overthrew.
Window.
Yeah.
Let's not overcook it too. This is a very small window, but he definitely overthrew his receivers by a long shot on some of those. And it was, I mean, enough to where, even though it was a small window, that's the takeaway was, man, he couldn't hit a wide open receiver that wasn't being covered, you know, and with no pressure on him either. So yeah, I think that maybe we just saw him on off days. I don't know, but I agree with you. I think Quinn Ewers has looked, in the limited windows that we have seen, he does look or appear to be a little bit more comfortable than Hudson Card. And that's a little surprising, Chip.
Yeah. I mean, this is where you expect your veteran to step up and really assert himself in every possible way. And we'll see. Look, the pads are coming on. This is where we're going to hear we're going to hear from our sources about who's doing well. The coaches are going to see what's going on in those scrimmages and in these practices. And Taylor, you know, these preseason polls come out and Texas is picked to finish fourth in the Big 12. And you're looking for difference makers. You're looking for difference makers. And Texas has those at the skill positions on offense, no question. Bijan Robinson, even Roschon Johnson, Xavier Worthy, Jordan Whittington proved to be a money guy on third down. Isaiah Neyor had 12 touchdown catches last year. Defensively, this is where my focus is going with the pads going on, because that defense was such a mystery. And if you are a loyal listener to the Flagship Podcast and you've already heard the Flagship Podcast interview with Gabe Eichard, the former OU center, who is an on-air host on SiriusXM Big 12 Radio on Channel 375, he said they underperformed. That defensive line underperformed. And that's not breaking news, but why? Why did it underperform? And we're hearing that, you know, Steve Sarkisian saying Bo Davis, there's a better rapport with on the defensive line with their coach, Bo Davis, that Bo Davis is being allowed to coach the way he wants to coach. We know that Pete Kwiatkowski, the defensive coordinator, also coaches the defensive ends at Texas. Those two have to be on the same page, Taylor. And that's what I'm looking to see here as the pads go on. What are we getting out of that front in this defense? How aligned are these players? How aligned are they with their coaches? And how aligned are the coaches with each other? Because you got Gary Patterson out there in the middle of practice and he's taking notes and, you know, talking to position coaches about what he's seeing, maybe loud enough for players to hear. Is this defense ready to put it all together and improve from just an abysmal season last year? And again, wasn't blanket terrible. There were first halves where they were really good, but when it mattered most, the defense didn't hold up. When the game was on the line, they didn't hold up. So is that defense ready to take that step? Because there is talent in that front. There's talent on that defensive line. You know, Alfred Collins may have finished as a high four star, but he was a five star at one point. We know Byron Murphy can play. We know Tavondre Sweat looks like an NFL player. Keandre Coburn's been here forever. Taylor, it's got to be better.
Yeah, it absolutely has to be. And I do, I mean, I kind of want to give, a part of me kind of wants to give Pete Kwiatkowski and the defensive staff a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, honestly, going into this year, from when you talk about the coaches needing to be aligned with one another too and gelling together. That's something that takes time. So I think that alone, the fact that the staff has a whole year of them actually coaching together when all of them were, you know, handpicked by Steve Sarkisian, not guys that had much familiarity with one another, being on defense or any type of defensive staff in the past, I feel like I want to give the benefit of the doubt, because I feel like that alone is going to help the defense improve. Because when you know, a team or any type of thing, even with a workplace situation, when everyone's on the same page, usually more success will follow. When people are doing their own thing and, you know, just focusing on whatever they individually are, you know, doing and not the overall picture, I do think that that's when a lot of times you get the, you know, breaking down. And what you saw in games last year, you know, it was like they didn't know, the players almost didn't know what to do when adversity struck. And I think a lot of that probably had to do with the unfamiliarity, both, you know, with learning a new defensive scheme that year, plus not knowing any of these coaches, and the coaches not really knowing how to work together very well either, because they hadn't done it. So I do think, I feel like that's where I almost feel like I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and expect a much better product. Because, you know, when you do look at the talent, especially at the front of the defense, there's a lot of talent there, as you mentioned. You know, I mean, Tavondre Sweat should be coming on, being in his fourth year at Texas. Keandre Coburn's got to be coming on. Byron Murphy, Alfred Collins. I mean, these are guys that have very high ceilings, and now it's time for them to show it, because obviously the back end of the defense is still going to be at least a question mark. I don't want to call it a liability yet, but it's definitely going to be a question mark going in to this season. And so the front of the defense has to really hold it all together. I mean, maybe I'm just being too optimistic, but I feel like it has to be better just for the consistency on that side of the ball. Am I crazy?
No, I mean, there's enough talent there. Like, if you took Nick Saban or Kirby Smart and said, what would they do with Texas's talent on defense? Like, you'd feel really good about it. Mm-hmm. Those are both defensive-minded head coaches. I've said this till I'm blue in the face. An offensive-minded head coach is going to be made or broken based on his defense. How well does he hire coaches to coach defense? How aligned and how much? Because defensive-minded head coaches are just naturally tougher. You know, they have to absorb the punch on defense, so they typically have to be tougher. I mean, they like to think that they administer the punch, but the offense knows where they're going, the defense doesn't. And so, you know, there's just a philosophy, a mindset. That's why I always credited Bob Stoops at OU, because, you know, he's a defensive minded head coach, but he hired offense really well. Mm-hmm. You know, from Mike Leach to Mark Mangino to, you know, Kevin Wilson. He hired really, really good offensive coaches to handle that side of the ball. And then Stoops provided a really tough-minded message. And you know, even to Tom Herman's credit, who we learned this week, Tom Herman's going to be a announcer, a color analyst for CBS on television this year. I think he's got the SMU North Texas game on September 3rd. But his teams were physical. And he's an offensive minded guy. Well, that's what I want to see from this defense this year, Taylor, is where's that edge? Where's that toughness coming from? That was always sort of my complaint with Mack Brown when he was at Texas. I always said he should have to donate $50,000 to charity every time he said the word physical.
Oh, God.
Because his teams weren't that physical. Now, 05. Okay. But you know, that's the thing. And so I just want to see it. I want to see that this year. If I see that, you take, you know, a physical defense with what Steve Sarkisian can do offensively, okay, then the program's going to be moving in the right direction. If we don't see it, and I get it, there's help on the way, there's talent in the pipeline, but great coaches reveal themselves in the first 3 years, usually in the first 2 years. Heck, Tom Herman went to the Sugar Bowl and won the Sugar Bowl in his second year at Texas. They usually start revealing themselves. Mack Brown went to a Big 12 championship game in 1999. He lost it to Nebraska, but you know, he was in position to win a conference championship in year two. So we should see this, Taylor. We should see that arrow going up. And that's what I'm really looking for. I mean, as these pads go on, this is where we find out who really wants it. It's hot. We're recording on Tuesday. They're practicing at 2:45. the afternoon. It's brutal. But
brutal, yeah.
This is where we should start to see that physical edge, that toughness, that camaraderie, because we already know there's adversity coming in the season early.
Right. And I think you also, this is where you're going to see how well the strength and conditioning off-season program has worked, or where maybe it hasn't. You know, I know that was a lot of questions that people had coming out of last year when the team kind of looked tired in the second half of games, and really that's when they lost a lot of the games. I think that Tori Becton, what Steve Sarkisian kind of talked about, was it was a lot more learning in year one under the strength and conditioning program, just like how to accurately, you know, lift weights and things like that, because there was a lot of technical things that they were doing wrong as a team. So this year was more focused on, you know, adding the bulk and getting the in the best shape possible. And I think that's something Tori Becton's definitely going to have to prove. And we need to see that, I think, as a whole from Texas on both sides of the ball, but especially on defense, because clearly that was an issue last year. And that you can't have those issues. As you mentioned, you know, you want to see improvement. You can't have the same issues show up year after year, because that, to me, is a sign of the not very well-coached team. And Steve Sarkisian and the staff really don't have much time after that 5-7 season last year to, you know, time's not on their side, I think is a fair thing to say at a place like Texas that's been really quick to turn over head coaches and coaching staff. So, yeah, I think you right now is when we're going to see how much work this offseason strength and conditioning program really has impacted the team, whether it's positive or negative. But you would hope that it's positive, just with all things considered going into the season, Chip.
Yeah, and I think some of what we saw last year in the second half of games was, you know, confusion.
Yeah.
And, you know, not being a united football team, not willing to go down on your shield for your teammate. There was a lot of, this isn't going well and I'm sick of this. And and that showed. And everyone's looking at Texas going, oh, there's Texas. Entitled Texas. Doesn't go their way. They take their ball, they go home. Well, that's got to change. And these coaches, we heard Bo Davis on that bus after the Iowa State game, how pissed off he was. I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the kind of fight and tenacity that you want to see in these guys. And it's a whole thing. You got to, you know, it's like that Poison song, give me something to believe in. The players are saying to the coaches, give me something to believe in. Put me in the right position to make plays. The coaches are saying to the players, give me something to believe in. Let me see you make a play. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it's all got to go hand in hand. And then it's got to be happening every week. We say all the time, the sign of a well-coached team is week-to-week improvement. Even if you get blitzed in week two against Alabama, how did you play? How did you respond? Did you come up with, you know, some plays that were like, wow, okay, this is a Texas team that's moving in the right direction. They're playing with confidence. They're playing together. We can see that. If we don't see it, then everyone's going to grip and hold their breath and wonder, uh-oh, what's going to happen against UTSA in week three? And so it's fascinating to me. Football is just the most unbelievable team sport, because you've got, you know, 11 guys, they all got to be on the same page at any given time. And you got to have them all willing to, you know, die for each other. And we've heard so much about culture and Steve Sarkisian trying to get his culture in, because whatever that was last year was a disaster. I mean, I hate to go back to last year, but that's what you're based on. I mean, even Steve Sarkisian said it. You're based on what your record says you are. And so everyone always wants to believe Texas has the talent to be number 18 in the coaches poll, or, you know, finish fourth in the Big 12. Last year, they were right there with TCU and Kansas at the bottom of the conference, Taylor. It was awful. And so, you know, mentally, is this football team a different football team?
Yeah, and they're going to have to show it, and they're going to have to show it early, because this is not an easy schedule that Texas has this season. I forget what Phil Steele had them ranked their season schedule, but it's one of the tougher ones in the country that Texas is going to have to play. And, you know, that's, you got to be ready for it. There's no excuses. Your year for excuses is up. You know, the first year jitters, the first year issues, the first year adversity, all of that happened, you know, those can't be excuses in year two. So now you've just got to show it, and you've got to show it early with the schedule that Texas is going to be playing this year.
Yeah. And they're just little nagging things, you know, cause I said a successful year in 2022 would be 8 wins in Arch Manning. Texas already has the commitment from Arch Manning. Now go get the 8 wins and show that you've made improvement and, you know, continue to build and let these offensive and defensive linemen get another year into the program and let's see where they are. But you look at this and they're little nagging questions. Like we've talked about, you know, the safeties all coming from other positions. Jaron Thompson's the returning guy. He got benched 5 games into the season last year. At corner, you've got Deshaun Jameson and Ryan Watts. Who else? Jalen Gilbo's working. You know, we've talked about him having maybe definitely the best spring of any of the young corners. And now he's working at nickel along with Jahdae Barron because they want to have a bunch of versatility, in part because they don't have a lot of proven depth.
Right.
And if they suffer an injury, guys are going to have to be ready to jump in wherever needed. And then at linebacker, it sounds good. Jalen Ford, everybody's on board. Everyone loves little D-Tuck from James Madison, David Benda, DeMarvion Overshawn. But is that front going to occupy any blockers and allow those linebackers to make plays? To me, it's still such a big question, and I'm not going to give any benefit of the doubt until I see it, because last year has like burned like a branded, you know, steer on my brain, just this chaos. And yeah, I've always said when it doesn't look good from the outside, if it looks disorganized to a fan, there's a communication breakdown somewhere.
Yeah.
Whether it's player to player,
behind closed doors, basically.
Right. Whether it's player to player or coach to player or coach to coach, there is a breakdown happening somewhere when you're just getting gashed by the same play over and over again. And so it's, what have these coaches learned? That's all playing out right now in fall camp. Pads are going on. Players are giving it everything they've got because they got some talented dudes who are probably playing their last season. Bijan Robinson, all the seniors, obviously. But it's when you have a guy like Bijan Robinson and Xavier Worthy and even Isaiah Nair, 12 touchdown catches in a season. I don't care if you played at Holy Cross. You catch 12 touchdowns, you've had a year. This guy did it in the Mountain West, did it D1, and is, you know, a kid who is a freak athletically, who was discovered his going into his junior year in high school as a football player, was a basketball player. His best football is ahead of him. This is exciting. There's a lot of exciting elements to this team, but then there's a lot of nagging stuff. You know, the defensive front, is the secondary going to hold up? The kicking game. What's going on with the offensive line? And I know Texas fans are just like, they're so tired of wait till next year. They want to see something now. They want to give me something to believe in. We should be playing Poison right now.
You're aging yourself, Chip. I think you're aging yourself.
But that's a classic. Let's admit. All right, Taylor. We've got another countdown.
We do.
We're getting closer to the season. So now we're going to start ranking the schedule. Easiest games to hardest. Okay, kids? Easiest games to hardest. We're going to count these down over the next 3 weeks here on the Flagship Podcast. So starting with the easiest game, Taylor, Louisiana Monroe. Week one. Here's your chance.
I bet a lot of people expected Kansas to be this one, right? But Not until they prove it, right?
Kansas. I mean, Steve Sarkisian's 0-1 against Kansas, for God's sake. Sorry, I got like something in my eye. Louisiana Monroe. Okay, Terry Bowden, the former Auburn head coach. His dad, Bobby Bowden, legend at Florida State. And he took over Louisiana Monroe. They went 4-8 last year. They got seven starters back on offense and six starters back on defense. But, you know, they only scored 20.9 points per game last year and gave up 33.5, and they're starting over at quarterback. Last year they had Rich Rodriguez as the offensive coordinator because his son was the quarterback. Then his son graduated. Rich Rodriguez moved on. So this is Louisiana Monroe in the Sun Belt, and I don't see a quarterback or anything that scares you. This is the easiest game on the Texas schedule. It's week one. Get a chance to get in there, get some confidence, Taylor, because you know the hardest game is probably in week two.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to – I mean, I feel like this is a really good starter game for Texas, especially with whoever is named the starting quarterback. I mean, getting those type of reps in an actual game setting is going to be crucial for what is coming in week two. So, you know, I know that Kansas could probably be the – quote-unquote easiest game on the schedule, but some people may say I'm not there's no way I'm gonna say Kansas is the easiest one just since they lost last year, and plus I do think Kansas actually has a decent amount of talent coming back. But so yeah, I agree with this. So I'm gonna preface this: the rankings that are on the screen, if you're watching on the Horns 24/7 YouTube channel, I put Chip's rankings. Mine may not be the exact same, but the ones listed are Chip's. I do agree with this though, Chip. I think this is a good starter game before Texas faces Alabama in week two at home.
Okay, so we agree on that.
We agree. Yep. Louisiana Monroe. Right.
Second easiest game on the schedule. And I had to like think about this for a second. It's Kansas.
Yeah.
Even though you're playing in Lawrence in November, and Texas has had some weird trips to Lawrence. Like, I don't know. And OU had a weird trip to Lawrence last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was Caleb Williams ripping the ball out of Kennedy Brooks's hands on fourth down to save them.
Yeah.
But look, Lance Leipold found something in their quarterback, Devin Neal. He was running all over the place against Texas. They've got some good skill talent, whatever. Texas should beat Kansas.
Yes, they should.
In Lawrence.
I mean, I don't even want to like speak this into existence or anything, but could you imagine starting off 0-2 against Kansas?
I mean, oh boy.
That would be awful. Yeah.
That'd be awful.
Yeah. And I do kind of like what Lance Leopold's doing at Kansas right now. I feel like they were more competitive in games last year. Sure, they only won two, and Texas was one of them, unfortunately for Texas fans. But I do feel that they were a little bit more competitive than you've seen of Kansas teams as of, you know, last several decades now. But yeah, this should be the second easiest game on Texas schedule. If it's not, then I don't even want to know what conversations we're having on November 19th after that game, Chip.
Yeah. we're not going to bog you down with Kansas stats.
No.
They were 2-10 last year, and one of the wins was against Texas. Okay. Okay. Now maybe this is where we start to diverge, Taylor, but I think the third easiest game on Texas's schedule is TCU. It's at home. It's November 12th. TCU's defense. Now, as much as everyone's all excited about Gary Patterson, TCU's defense was not good enough last year. And they gave up more than 200 yards rushing, just like Texas. And TCU gave up 34.9 points per game. That's just not Gary Patterson-like. Only averaged 28.7 points per game. That's not going to cut it when you're giving up more than you're scoring. And Auchan Mathis is gone. He went to Nebraska. And I just don't know that Sonny Dykes has the defense that, you know, I don't know what Sonny's going to be able to pull off on defense, but they've got quarterbacks. Max Duggan has got 2 wins against Texas. They got Chandler Morris. They've got really good skill talent, Quentin Johnston. They've got a really good running back room. But I think Steve Sarkisian's offense should be able to move the football against TCU. I don't know. I don't have the feeling that TCU is ready in year one under Sonny Dykes, Taylor.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like with this game being later in the season, that may bode better for TCU because, you know, you would think they would kind of work out the first year, you know, staff type of kinks that may show up earlier in the season. But I think it's always difficult to take over a football program. And it's especially difficult to take over after a coach that, I mean, isn't there a statue of Gary Patterson on like campus?
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, that's the level of coach you're taking over. I feel like there's always going to be that transition. So while TCU is kind of one of those teams to me, Chip, that they may be way better when it's all said and done, just because they do have a lot of experience returning. I think Phil Steele says that they have 10 starters on offense and then 8 on defense with, you know, starting experience returning to the team this year. This could be a trap type of game, but at this point, I do think that I would say that this is one of the easier games on the schedule. I would probably agree with you at number 10 with the, I would probably say either 9 or 10, but yeah, I would say, you know, the first quarter of the schedule, I guess. Yeah. Right. Is it in quarters? No, thirds. First third. Yeah. This game would fall in the lower tier of the first third.
Okay. All right.
Next one's where we're going to disagree though.
Okay. This is good then. Okay. So Taylor, I say the next easiest game on the schedule is at Texas Tech on September 24th. Now, I love Joey McGuire. I love his energy. I just don't know if they have enough, again, defensively, to slow down Steve Sarkisian's offense. And I like Tyler Shuck, although Texas destroyed him last year. He actually got injured in the Texas game. And I like the running back room, Sroderick Thompson. I like, Taj Brooks at running back. Eric Ezekanma's gone. But Tech has good skill. I just don't see it coming together for Joey McGuire, in part because this game is early in the season. That's another reason that I have it here. You're playing them September 24th. Texas Tech probably won't have everything figured out at that point. They're opening with Murray State. They'll play Houston. Actually, they will play a tough game at NC State right before they play Texas. And depending on how they perform in that game, it might give Texas a false sense of security going out to Lubbock. But I think this is one of the 4 easiest games for Texas this season. Your thoughts?
I would probably say Iowa State is one. Now, the only thing with the Iowa State game for Texas this year is it's going to fall right after the OU game, and Texas will have been on, I think, like a 7 or 8 game stretch, or I think 7 game. That would be their 7th straight game of the season. So that kind of gives me pause a little bit, but I do think that I think Texas Tech has a little bit more upside this season than Iowa State. Even though there is, you know, a new head coach in Lubbock, I've always liked Joey McGuire as a coach. I feel like he's one of the better fits probably for that job. Honestly, I think that they did a fantastic job of hiring him for that role. He understands, I think, the community in Lubbock. I feel like he's going to be a success in Lubbock. It may not be in year one, but I do think I feel better about where Texas Tech is right now than where Iowa State is. With Iowa State, I think they only have three starters returning on defense. You know, there's a lot of talent that they are replacing from last year. That game is at home for Texas. So I would personally say the fourth easiest game on the schedule for Texas is Iowa State, not Texas Tech.
Okay. All right. That is that's a good place to leave it, because we're going to be counting down the next four hardest, you know, easiest to hardest games for Texas. We just gave you the easiest. Taylor thinks Iowa State is going to be in the four easiest games. I've got at Texas Tech in there. Notice how neither one of us have UTSA in those among the four easiest games for Texas. All right, a couple nuggets before we get to Love It or Leave It. Chris Beard has now replaced both of his assistant coaches. His associate head coach is Rodney Terry, but both of his assistant coaches have now been replaced. Yurik Malagay is now at Kansas State, and this past week, Jarence Howard resigned, and he came from Kansas. He's going to be replaced by Bob Donawald Jr., who is already on Chris Beard's staff as a special assistant. And Taylor, you're the baseball seam head. I'm hearing Troy Tulowitzki is going to stay on and continue to help the Texas program in a volunteer role. And that's significant. He turned down USC. He's
a paid role there.
The head job.
The head job, yeah.
And actually, he turned down a big payday from Texas. And yet, he's still coming to the ballpark. He and David Pierce, from what I'm told, had a great conversation. Troy Tulowitzki wants to become a head coach, and he wants to, you know, experience everything he needs to experience. And he can coach the X's and O's. The part of the game that he doesn't feel totally on top of is recruiting. And I think David Pierce said, listen, I'll help you learn that. So we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. Obviously, David Pierce hired Woody Williams as the pitching coach, and former Baylor head coach Steve Rodriguez to work with the hitters. But we know that Troy Tulowitzki has worked with the hitters in the infielders in the past. So that's some good news. Every day that Troy Tulowitzki is coming to the ballpark is a good day for Texas baseball. All right, Taylor, you ready for some Love It or Leave It?
I am. Before we get to Love It or Leave It, we're going to take a really quick break, but stick around. We will have more football talk coming up, so stay tuned. We will be right back.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry? Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
We're going to roll on here to Love It or Leave It. Chip, you ready?
Let's go.
All right. My first one for you is Love It or Leave It. The coach who voted Texas number one in the preseason coaches poll was really trying to vote for Texas A&M.
Okay. That's probably true, but I'm going to leave this because I like my conspiracy theory way better that Nick Saban was poking some fun at his former offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian. I mean, after all, Texas got the Arch Manning commitment. Alabama didn't. And you know, Sarkisian raided Saban's staff of Jeff Banks and AJ Milwee and Kyle Flood. I think he wanted Pete Golding too as the defensive coordinator. Didn't get him. Nick said no. So Taylor, I'm going to stick with my conspiracy theory that it was Nick Saban poking a little at Steve Sarkisian. So I'm going to leave it. How about you?
I'm going to leave it. And I'm solely doing it because I really hope that is the case. Like, I really hope it was Nick Saban messing with Steve Sarkisian, because that would just be, I mean, I'm like so excited for that final week of the coaches poll to come out so we can see who actually did this. Because if it's Nick Saban, then I am just absolutely going to love it. And plus, it's going to be funny to see the two of them compete when Texas goes to the SEC if it is Nick Saban. So I'm going to leave it. I'm going to hope the conspiracy theory is right and that it was actually Nick Saban intentionally voting for Texas.
All right. We're on the same page there. All right. Love it or leave it. Number two.
All right. My second one for you is love it or leave it. Last season, Texas had more sacks given up with 26 than sacks of opposing quarterbacks of 20. This season, those numbers will be flipped.
They better be. They better be, Taylor, or we might be looking at another tough season here. I'm going to love this just because I said I wasn't going to give benefit of the doubt, but I'm going to give benefit of the doubt to these coaches in bringing in players who can get it done, or the ability to coach up the players who had to, you know, languish through that 5-7 season. Those players should never, ever, ever want to experience that again, and should be moving heaven and earth, even in 105 degree heat, to make sure that never happens again. So I am going to love this, even though, as we discussed in today's flagship podcast, there's a lot of benefit of the doubt that is going to be required here. I'm going to love it though. How about you?
Oh man, I'm going to leave it. I think that the benefit of the doubt for me is more that the overall defense will be improved. It's not that hard to probably do that either because of how bad the defense was last season. But when it comes to sacks, just because that, I mean, you know, we talked, it's hard for me to go back to last season, last spring game. We'll talk about, you know, in 2021 when they were just getting after the Texas quarterbacks. And then it's like, oh, that was just because the offensive line is so bad. Like, it wasn't the defense actually performing at an elite level. So I think that's kind of scarred me a little bit when it comes to talking about sacks specifically. While I do think the defense will be improved, I have to see them actually, you know, get a quarterback on the ground before I'm going to start giving, you know, any type of high expectation for the number of sacks that this Texas defense can do. And I hope I'm wrong, because I'm more of a defensive person. I think you can probably tell that I like talking defense probably more than offense, which is probably weird for some people, but I've got to see it, because that really shook me hard last year. I mean, when we're talking about, you know, Ben Davis being the sack leader for Texas, and he had 2.5 sacks and he didn't even play in every game and didn't start, it's like, okay, like, it's going to be hard for me to give much benefit of the doubt that that's going to vastly improve. So I'm going to have to leave that. Show me, don't tell me. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's understandable. All right, love it or leave it, number three.
Final one, love it or leave it. If Texas can maintain its average of 35 points per game on offense and just hold opponents to 25 points per game on defense, the Longhorns will win at least 9 games this season.
Yeah, I'm going to love this. I mean, this is a wide open Big 12. You average 35 points in the Big 12 and hold opponents to 25. You're going to win those close ones that you lost last year. You're going to win the Oklahoma game. You're going to win the Oklahoma State game, the Baylor game, the Kansas game. Absolutely. I'm going to love this. And that's a reasonable expectation for a defense that returns 7 starters, has a bunch of experience up front, second year in the system. You go from 31.1 points per game to 25. I think that's a reasonable expectation for improvement for the Texas defense. So I'm going to love this, Taylor. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to love it that if this does happen, then yeah, they will win at least 9 games. I'm not sure that I would predict it to happen, but if it does play out, then yeah, I would love it and say that Texas would win at least 9 games if they were able to accomplish this. But at the end of the day, again, it's show me, don't tell me. So I personally think that 8 wins, if Texas gets to 8 wins this season, you take that as a win. You show enough improvement, and then, you know, you hope to improve on it next year. I don't expect Texas to win 9 games, but if they're able to accomplish this, you know, averaging 35 points on offense, holding opponents 25 points, then yeah, I think that I would be definitely underestimating the amount of wins that Texas had with me saying that I think that they're going to win 8 games. So,
all right, kids, the pads are on. Texas football fans, a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation, a lot of offseason momentum that's going to now find its way into the college football season. And we will continue to count down the easiest to hardest games on Texas's schedule next week. Make sure you check out the flagship podcast interview with Gabe Eichard, the former OU center, who's you can hear him on SiriusXM radio, and he's the OU sideline reporter, has some interesting thoughts on Texas. He interviewed Steve Sarkisian at Big 12 Media Days on SiriusXM radio, has some interesting thoughts, and his thoughts about the Sooners, who've had quite a week themselves this week. So for Taylor Estes, I am Chip Brown. Until next time, we'll see you over at horns247.com. Stay safe and keep the faith.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.